We had plans made, definitely, the Russians, the whole thing had boomeranged on them. The Atlantic Pact, because of Berlin, came into existence. ERP came into existence. They wanted to get out of it. So when they wanted to get out of it, never mind the face saving, they've got 1,000. They'll figure out a new face for themselves, and that's what they did. You hear so much, you know, we have to make a concession to save their face. Only a very honorable man must save his face. I must tell you a story online, because we call each other liars so much, and you wonder why Vyshinsky will say that mad dog stinking liar. It isn't as bad as we think it is. I'm tempted to go out and tell you a couple of stories, but I'll just tell you one. One day I was talking to General Smirnov over our parcel post deliveries. He gave these big facts out, which why something shouldn't be done. And I said to him when he finished, "General, do you know that what you're saying is true now is exactly the opposite of what you said was true last week?" He looked at me blandly and said, "Well, that was last week." See? There is no eternal truth. So now you're saying this fellow's a liar, he's no good. He may be no good, but because he's a liar, it's nothing to do with it. See? If Vyshinsky were honest or frank, which he couldn't possibly be, he'd say, "All right, so I'm a liar. Now what's the point, you see? Let's get along." After Berlin, 70 British and American dead, $500 million spent. It isn't nice to go to a hospital and see tubercular children spitting into a can without enough blankets, so you can't fly enough in, it's bulky, they can't have the windows open. It isn't pleasant to know there are 42,000 cases of galloping consumption walking the streets for lack of hospital space because you can't fly in supplies. It isn't nice to see one winter 2,300 Germans freeze to death. Are these people cruel? Don't ask me if they're cruel. For political advantage, they will do anything, and don't judge them by our standards. After that, we went to Paris. There was, I want you to think of the parallel today. Today, after the Korean victory, $1.5 billion spent, at least 4,500 dead Americans, more than it took us to invade the coast of France, 26,000 American casualties, not mentioning the destruction of property and the dead South Koreans and the murdered Democratic leaders. After all of that, their representatives, it's now the victory on the field is won as it was won in Berlin. What are we going to do about it? And there's the challenge. We did something before and it didn't work. Before, they smiled. And suddenly became friendly and drank drinks with us, just as they're doing in New York now. They came back to the conferences again. They threatened and they cajoled and they promised. They suggested if we would concede them reparations from current production from Austria, only $150 million worth, we'd get a peace treaty, you see, with Austria. So we agreed. We still haven't got the peace treaty. All we did was give away our principle. Now after Korea, they're smiling again, and they're talking now as then coexistence. That's Vyshinsky's latest term, coexistence. In Paris, it was two systems can get along together, you see. Another point then and now, at Paris, we agreed to status quo, which is a nice way of saying let bygones be bygones. Forget the $500 million. Forget the suffering. Forget the 70 dead. After all, it's past. Let bygones be bygones. And if you work on that principle with these people, they'll confront you, if you don't mind my swinging French in, fait accompli or accomplished fact, and then they'll smile and say, that's over. You see. Now the bait is China, you see. I don't know that the Chinese are cooperating too well with them on their game. But the implication now is that if we'd recognized China, this wouldn't have happened. Hadn't anything to do with it. After all, Nehru recognized them, didn't he? How much did that have, weight did that have for Tibet? So forth. The same game. Because you must remember, we cannot, we must not, we morally are indecent to try to do business with the present government of Russia. That doesn't mean you grab a gun and go shoot them. You may have to do it anyhow. They don't shoot us first. But it isn't preventive war. You've got to start off with a recognition that these people are gangsters and they have control of a nation. And they'll stop at nothing, and their plan, they hate us. Every decent thing we've done to them has only increased their hate. And when any man deals with us and begins to soften, he's yanked and sent away. So, all right, why didn't we charge him for Berlin? Why don't we charge him for Russia? Or charge Russia for Korea? You know that Russia, as I do, I mean, we probably couldn't prove this on the law court because the books on testimony are that deep. The only way we could get Al Capone was on a basis of evading income tax. Internationally, we can't prove Russia issued the orders. The chief communist of the North is taken off. Kim Il-sung, we won't get hold of him. Why don't we charge them for the harm? Now, there are three things that have to be done in Korea, obviously. One is to help these poor people. I mean, we're great, generous people. We ought to help them. There's great suffering there. Well, let's just cut it down. Two, we ought to make somebody pay for it. If we don't make Russia pay for these crimes all over the world against us, we'll have World War III, and there won't be any question of it. When they're ready, they'll hit us. I'm very sorry to end on a serious note. The only way we can make our opinions be felt in the world today, the only thing we've found that these people will recognize is force. They'll listen to discussion and negotiation. They won't use force against us only if we can make their use of force obviously folly. But we allowed ourselves to get weak the last time. We threw our army away. We put our ships in mothballs. We let our planes rot in the jungle, and we invited them to use force, really, when they couldn't get what they wanted by cheaper means such as propaganda and underground methods. So we must mobilize as fast as possible. We can't go on indefinitely $30 billion. We can't go on having more Koreas and Tibets and someplace in Africa. We can't allow them to organize the criminal elements of the world against us, to mislead honest people against us in a manner that you couldn't do in this city. You'd be sued for libel. Russia has to be made and held accountable, responsible. And we don't dare do it until we're strong. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is the reason you're going to have to shell out real money. And that's the reason young people have to give up their educations again, so that these people will be prevented from using force, because they are dialectics, they are not emotional. They will not use force unless it has a very good chance of succeeding. They can't possibly match us in the old type of war. It's more than 19 million tons of steel versus our vast production of over 100 million. We're smarter people, we're greater people, we're tougher people, we've got a better system. But we have to stay awake. We have to see to it that we're so strong they won't dare continue to stir up these wars all over. Thank you very much.